consuming, share more, consume less, because tomorrow really matters. You bet it does. Roll your eyes, Spencer. Please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
We're going to expect heavy fighting in the weeks and months.
President Bush anticipating an Iraq war funding bill that will only get the troops through the summertime.
We can expect more American and Iraqi casualties. We must provide our troops with the funds and resources they need to prevail.
I'm Bob Fuss, live on Capitol Hill, where the House is expected to vote within the hour to give President Bush the $100 billion he needs to keep fighting the Iraq war for the next 4 months. Unable to overcome a veto and unwilling to risk cutting off money for the troops, Democrats drop troop withdrawal deadlines. Democrat David Obey says he hates the bill, but did help negotiate it.
We have tried to produce change. We've been blocked in obtaining that change by the president. We are now trying to move ahead in the only option we have available.
The bill has additional non-military spending and also raises the minimum wage, which hasn't gone up in 10 years.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates said today things will be harder for American troops and more violent because terrorists and insurgents are sophisticated and they know the debate over funding will rage again as the summer funding starts to run out. He says they'll try to manipulate American opinion by ratcheting up the violence all summer. A new CBS News New York Times poll is in on immigration reform. Without being able to provide a detailed solution, the people say in general they support the idea of letting illegal immigrants stay, with primary emphasis on the skills they bring more than on family ties.
Two-thirds of Americans, 66%, said that they supported creating a guest worker program that would allow people from other countries to work in the United States for a temporary period of time. 30% opposed that.
CBS News poll director Kathleen Frankovic. Now, if you play long enough, the house always wins, right? Not if you have to have a deal with the dealer, of course. 19 people have been indicted for cheating casinos in several states in Canada. They allegedly paid bribes to dealers not to shuffle right, and with software and hidden transmitters predicted which cards were next. Federal officials contend they made millions in the last 5 years, could get 20 years in prison for it. Invasive species from foreign ballast water damage Lakes Superior, Huron, Erie, Michigan, and Ontario. At the American Great Lakes Ports Association, Steve Fisher says they are working on it.
We need a federal regulatory regime to act under. Once we have that, the shipping companies and the ports have already been working with companies around the world that are actually developing ballast water treatment technology.
Damage to the lakes already counted in the billions. A coalition of environmental groups says the time for a moratorium is now. New home sales up in April, 16%. Dave Siders at the National Association of Home Builders.
New home sales numbers for April, quite a surprise, reported to be up 16% from March. March was pretty darn low, but this is a very good number.
Affordability's up, too. Prices were down 11%. Wall Street, the Dow off 84.5 points. NASDAQ lost 39. This is CBS News.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
A lot fewer people are smoking these days.
Nearly 3 out of 4 American homes are now smoke-free. That's what the Centers for Disease Control says in a surprising new survey that shows that anti-smoking messages are getting through. Nevertheless, an Institute of Medicine panel says tobacco still kills 440,000 Americans each year. It is announcing a blueprint for action that includes sharply higher cigarette taxes, lower nicotine levels, a nationwide indoor smoking ban in public places, and giving the FDA the authority to regulate tobacco.
CBS's Barry Bagnato is in Washington. Police in Pennsylvania say she is a rich heiress with a demonstrated temper. Susan Tabas Tepper is heir to the chairman of Royal Bank. A year ago, she was accused of hitting her children's nanny with a bag of carrots and for throwing a telephone at her. She got probation for that. She's been busted again now for assaulting another nanny. Police say it went after this one with fingernails and car keys when the nanny tried to quit. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Reason number 9 to switch to Geico. There's nothing sweeter than saving money on car insurance. It's one of those rare opportunities in life where you can thumb your nose at the system and say, okay, system, listen up. I just got a better deal with Geico. Great savings, personal service 24/7, and the latest in online technology. Of course, the system may sulk for a day or two, but you're going to feel a lot better.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Memorial Day means summer, and your neighborhood Ace Hardware is here to help with the Memorial Weekend Sale. This weekend only, get an easy set pool for $39.99, cedar Adirondack chairs $29.99 each, and a stainless steel gas grill for $399.99, plus a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint, limit 10. Use your Ace Rewards card to earn double points at the Ace Memorial Weekend Sale this Friday through Monday. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Details available at participating stores. All rebates by mail.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. Please give a warm left coast welcome to a great progressive voice from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. Here's Tony Truppiano.
And welcome, everybody. Welcome, one and all. Tony Truppiano with you. And welcome, one and all. Tony Truppiano with you. Pleasure to be in for Peter B. And he's off for a few days. I'm going to be with you today, tomorrow, Tuesday. Some of my old friends will be joining us. Some new friends for me. And always a pleasure to sit in for Peter B. Let me remind you, if you want to connect with us during the show, fairly simple to do that. It's toll-free 888-5-PETER-B or 888-573-8372. And if you'd like to send me an email during the show today, well, my email address is tony@thetonyshow.com. That's tony@thetonyshow.com. And again, a lot to get to. Katrina did a great job of setting up the show for today. A lot of different issues. A lot of people angry with Democratic leadership today, and we're going to talk about that as we work our way through the program. But there is lots going on inside the Beltway when we're approaching summer. It's supposed to get quieter. Well, frankly, it's getting a whole lot louder. And I would imagine for some lawmakers, a lot hotter under the collar. I'm going to go ahead and get to my first guest. Joining us now from the Center for American Progress is Fez Shakir. He is with the Progress Report. You can find them online at AmericanProgress.org. Fez, a pleasure to have you on the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Thanks for having me, Tony. It's a good to talk to you. I've heard a lot about you.
Well, you know, last time, I actually had Dr. Weller on my show the other day, who's a great guy. But, you know, the last time I did a regular segment with the CAP, Judd Legum was still there.
Yeah, I know, and Judd really liked you, and you guys had a really good relationship, and I always heard great things.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and
he's now research director for Senator Hillary Clinton's presidential run.
Very good. Very, very good. Well, anyway, there is a lot going on, and we should start. By the way, love the new look of the Progress Report.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad. We're trying to solicit feedback, and so I'm happy. You know, some people have said they can't read it as well, but mostly it's been good feedback, so I'm glad you can read it.
What I like about it is it's very clean.
Good.
It is. I mean, it's very clean. I think it's actually quite easy to read, but it's not about what it looks like. It's about what it says. And opening up the Progress Report today, anyway, Monica Goodling, of course, was on Capitol Hill yesterday testifying. What an interesting day of testimony.
Yeah, it was really quite shocking. I thought probably the greatest single revelation that came out of it was her relaying a private conversation with Alberto Gonzalez, in which she says that she felt very uncomfortable. She felt that it was very inappropriate. And what she was referring to was Gonzalez had pulled her into a meeting just as Monica announced that she was going to be leaving the department. And in this private meeting, Gonzalez basically recited his story about the U.S. attorney scandal, basically laid out the facts as he saw them, and then asked her, what do you think of my facts? What do you think of my story? Do you agree with it? And she said, well, I don't know if we should be talking about this. And she knew that, of course, that any attempts to try to coach her or to try to change testimony or coordinate on this and to impede a House investigation is illegal, actually. It's a violation. It's an obstruction of justice under our civil code. And so, you know, she felt that it was inappropriate. And so I think that's really the major thing for me coming out is that here you have our attorney general who's sworn to uphold these laws, and he's clearly tampering with the laws and not showing due respect for them.
Well, you know, and Fez, some would suggest that by even having these hearings that there's impropriety, that, you know, we can go through the motions of this testimony, but by virtue of the fact that we've had to do this, somebody did something wrong, and there's going to be a finger pointed somewhere. Would you agree with that?
Definitely, definitely. And I think that we've had so far Monica Goodling, Alberto Gonzalez testify twice. We had Kyle Sampson. We had Paul McNulty. We've had a whole list of people come before the House and the Senate to give their side of the story, and there's been one continuing string throughout these testimonies, and that is nobody can say where the list of U.S. attorneys originated from. That is, who came up with the idea to target these specific attorneys. Nobody will say that it was me. I was the one who identified these list of attorneys. So the conclusion that comes to us from this testimony is that, well, it must be outside the Department of Justice, since nobody in the Department of Justice seems to know where the list came from, and all fingers, again, point to the White House.
Well, you know, and interestingly, as this will play out, there's going to be a lot of he said, she said. You know, and this is not, let's be honest, it's not major news that they made decisions based on party affiliation. I don't want people to freak out as something that, let's be honest about it, both sides do, and they really do that.
Yeah, although they're still denying it, you know, and they said, what was interesting is that Monica Goodling said yesterday that she may have crossed the line in conducting partisan hirings, but then she wouldn't say that they conducted partisan firings, which, I mean, clearly if you're doing one, you're probably doing the other, and that's what we've all suspected from the beginning, but yet they refused to acknowledge it, and that's why this story has drug out, and it leads many to believe that it's more than simply partisan firings, that there's something else there that people are trying to cover up.
Well, there's no question about that, and of course, part of the testimony was the attorney general misrepresented. I always love when they use that word, misrepresented, in some of his testimony. You know, let's go back to Alberto Gonzalez for just a moment. And with the news that broke earlier this week and some news that broke last week, I can't fathom that a man that has the intellectual capacity that he does all of a sudden forgets things that would be fairly easy for most of us to remember, no matter how busy we were.
Yeah, and of course, Monica Goodling doesn't have the problem that he has, right? She seemed to be able to recall a great deal and was able to at least tell her side of the story. We don't know if, like, all the facts stacked up, but certainly she was able to say, well, this is who was at that meeting, this is what was said to me. You know, she was able to go through it, whereas Gonzalez posed similar questions, would just simply say, well, I can't recall anything. And you're right to say, well, you know, that's fishy coming from a guy who seems to be probably more capable than that, at least should have a better memory than that.
Yeah, well, there's no question, Fez, that's true. And I think that as we kind of watch how this will unfold, Karl Rove, again, I would think, comes into the picture, because not too much happens without him, Fez.
Yeah, right, and I think that's where all the fingers now point. If you're looking at who in the White House was really cooking up this scheme, I think it's got to be Karl Rove. I think Monica Goodling said an interesting thing yesterday earlier in her opening testimony. She said that, you know, I wasn't involved. I never had a conversation with Karl Rove. But then she said, I wasn't a member of the White House Judicial Selection Committee. And so my ears perked up. I'm like, what is she talking about? What is this White House Judicial Selection Committee? She seemed to be suggesting that that committee was probably where this list originated from, where the idea to selectively fire these attorneys probably started. So we looked into what is this White House Judicial Selection Committee, and it has a group of advisors in the White House. It includes the White House Chief of Staff. It includes the Attorney General. It includes the Attorney General's Chief of Staff. But notably, it also includes Karl Rove. And the person who chairs the White House Judicial Selection Committee is this is the White House Legal Counsel. At the time, in 2001, it was Alberto Gonzalez. But when Gonzalez left, it was Harriet Myers. So, you know, I think that there's plenty of reason. I thought that that was an interesting thing that she said, that it was the White House Judicial Selection Committee, because now I think we should be turning there and saying, okay, well, is this where it came from? Was this a Karl Rove scheme?
Well, and of course, again, and we're going to have to be, you know, we're going to have to be very deliberate about how we report what's going to happen from this point forward. But I think one of the more remarkable things that may come of all this is that, you know, we've been looking for that domino effect. And, you know, there was an article the other day that I read, I believe it was in the New York Times, where they talked about, you know, all of the investigations that are going on, how many members of the cabinet have left. And, like, Harriet Myers is an example, Fez. You know, some say that she conveniently left. Others say that she was stupid to leave because she could have, at some level, the president may have given her executive privilege. Your thoughts on Harriet Myers and where she may fit into all this?
Well, I think that she knows a heck of a lot, first of all. She knows a great deal about what went on here, and she would be a damaging witness to the White House if she were to testify before Congress, that is, if she didn't assert her Fifth Amendment privilege and clammed up. I think that if she were to speak before Congress and speak openly, it would be pretty damaging to Karl Rove. And I think what happened here is that, you know, she was really chairing this process, and that they were basically targeting people for political reasons, and that she was the one who was pushing the plan behind the scenes per Karl Rove's information. I think Karl Rove was the one probably feeding her the political reasons for why certain people should go, and then she was kind of pushing it to the Department of Justice and pushing the process through. So she knows, I think, a great deal, and I wish that she would, you know, that the Congress would make an attempt to go after her. I think that they're being very deliberate, as you say, that they should be, being deliberate first in trying to build the case and making sure that everybody in the Department of Justice has been talked to, that there are no leads there, and that everything seems to be coming from the White House, and I think it gives them greater...
We're going to the break here. We'll be back. Hold on with us.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Say there's no such thing as Santa, but as for me and Grandpa, we believe she'd been drinking too much.
Tony Truppiano back with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. My guest, Fez Shakur, with the Center for American Progress. He is one of the editors of the Progress Report. Again, if you'd like to join us on the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free, 888-573-8372. If any of you would like to send me an email during the show today, feel free to do that. Your questions will be accepted there as well. And that would be Tony at thetonyshow.com. Anyway, we are going to get back to Fez. Fez, and we actually have a caller, so before I kind of transition to the next topic, let's go to Jake in Arcadia. Jake, I want to welcome you to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air. Do we have Jake? I can't hear him.
Hello, Tony?
Yes, Jake, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hey, Tony. Anyway,
go ahead.
I got this question about the no-confidence vote against Alberto Gonzalez. You know, I was under the impression that Democrats were supposed to go ahead and hold the no-confidence vote this week, but apparently the Democrats have postponed it until mid-June. And if you look at Monica Gilling's testimony, she clearly indicates that Alberto Gonzalez attempted to suborn perjury, trying to get their story straight before the testimony in front of Congress. You know, Gonzalez is not only unqualified, the guy is clearly committing criminal acts and doing things against our Constitution. They should have a no-confidence vote, and they head straight to impeachment, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, and Jake, part of the challenge here, and you know, I think it's a profoundly good question, why all the delays? Why aren't we, you know, moving agendas forward? You know, why, you know, and Jake, I don't want to be overly critical of Democratic leadership, but sweet God, Jake, right now, I'm asking the question, what in the hell are they doing?
I think they're out to lunch, Tony. I don't think they're dealing with the reality. You know, this whole idea of backing down on the timelines in Iraq, allowing Gonzalez to stay in office, you know, they need to do their job and, first of all, get rid of Gonzalez, and then if they can, get rid of Bush and Cheney.
Well, you know, I don't see, because even the more progressive members of Congress will not openly talk. Kucinich is one of the few will even openly talk about impeachment. And I'm sure, Jake, as you're aware, Dennis Kucinich actually introduced a House Resolution 333 that calls for the impeachment of Dick Cheney. But again, other progressive members of Congress are sitting on their hands and doing nothing.
Yeah, I think it's just simply that they're too afraid of the right-wing media. They're afraid of being labeled as anti-American and unpatriotic. But in fact, you know, all the actions committed by the Bush administration could be rightly be labeled as un-American and unpatriotic.
We have Fez Shakur back from the Center for American Progress. Fez, you know, the caller was asking, and I apologize for us losing you there for a minute.
Caller
was asking about the no confidence vote for the Attorney General. Do you know why there's been a delay in that?
Well, they just announced today that they're going to have the vote. So I think they've been having a delay because they are not sure where to fit it in the Senate schedule. That's been the issue, and they finally found a time. It's going to come after the immigration debate, and they're going to have a vote. So that's a good thing, and then it was announced by Senator Schumer, amongst others, today at a press conference. And, you know, and many are more interested in trying to impeach him, which, you know, Robert Greenwald, a movie producer, has put out an effort and a film calling for activists to impeach Attorney General Gonzalez. So I think there's a great desire for there to be greater accountability and for Congress to assert some more authority over the Attorney General's conduct.
Yeah, there's no question. By the way, that website that you mentioned is impeachgonzalez.org.
Right.
And Gonzalez has an S at the end, not a Z, for those of you that want the correct spelling, impeachgonzalez.org. We don't have a lot of time left, Fez, and I did want to ask you about a story that made me very uncomfortable today. And you know that I know that there's still this prevailing homophobia within the government, but you know, once again, the FDA today reiterated a ban on gay men donating blood, despite the Red Cross objecting to this. And I just fundamentally, Fez, don't get why this continues to happen. With the kind of technologies we have today in medicine, this should be a non-issue.
Yeah, and you've had all kinds of medical professionals, including the Red Cross and all the American Blood Centers, come out and say that this alarm is uncalled for, that if you at least provide a few weeks of testing. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I hear the phone ringing there.
If you'd like to make a call, please hang up and try again. If you need help, hang up and then dial your operator.
Okay. Anyway, Fez, you were saying, I apologize for that. We obviously have a cross connection somewhere.
Yeah, it's okay. Yes, I was saying that all these medical experts have come out and said that there's no objections to getting blood from homosexual men and women, and that there isn't a medical risk here. And so it makes no sense that now the FDA is trying to push a ban on them donating blood. It seems like a part of a long-running agenda from the Bush administration to smear the homosexual community. And
Fez, I want to thank you for being with us. The Center for American Progress, AmericanProgress.org. I'm Tony Trupiano on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd the Taxi Driver, and today I want to talk to you about hate. Washington, D.C.'s latest diversion from the war in Iraq and the tanking economy is passing hate crime legislation. Members of the Republican Party and George Bush's White House would like you to believe that they consider all of us Americans to be one big happy family. I've actually heard them say in the last few days that whites, blacks, Hispanics, gays are all equal in their eyes, and that by giving legal protections to one class of America would be un-American. Good try, George, but I'm not buying it. While I believe that we are all equal, I also believe that some of us in America are at a higher risk of being victims of crimes. In the 1960s, America needed to pass civil rights legislation to protect African Americans who were disproportionately victims of crime. Today, homosexuals need those additional protections. Call us here at KRXA and tell us what you think. This has been Todd the Taxi Driver.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I interview great guests, including national, regional, and local personalities that make our planet so delicious. And I want your feedback. It's simple. Go to www.tastyplanet.org, complete the survey, fill out a form, and you'll be automatically entered to win. That's all there is to it, and your info is safe with me. I won't use it for anything but this contest. So listen in on Saturdays from 1 to 4 p.m., and as Julia Child used to say, bon appétit!
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. I'm grateful to my radio buddy and fellow progressive, Tony Truppiano, for sitting in. So give him a call, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Here he is, Tony Truppiano.
Oh,
Tony Trupiano back with you. Tony Trupiano back with you. Apologize, we are having some technical difficulties this evening. And I believe we're in wait of our guests. So in lieu of that, I want to go back to a topic that'll actually fit nicely in with where we're going to go. I had said in the last segment that the Democratic leadership is absolutely enraging, and probably not in a good way, is absolutely enraging Democrats in this country, and not just those that we consider liberal. It's not just the liberals that are angry right now. There are many Democrats angry with the leadership of the Democratic Party. And again, I have to, and I don't want to be measured, and I don't want to be careful. What I do want to do is make sure that we understand that in the midterm elections, we'd sent a mandate, didn't we? We'd sent a message. And what did we get in return? Well, my next guest is Robert Naiman, and Robert is the National Coordinator and Senior Policy Analyst at Just Foreign Policy, and he has an article at Common Dreams titled Iraq War Funding Compromise or Sellout. And Robert, let me welcome you to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Tony Trupiano. Nice to meet you. I was saying fits nicely into what we need to talk about. Was it a compromise or was it a sellout?
Well, typically we use the word compromise to describe a situation where you have two adversaries, they go into a negotiation, and they come out with something that's somewhere in between the starting position of the two parties. That's clearly not what happened in this case. The Democratic leadership went into the meeting room and walked out with President Bush's position, giving him every dollar he asked for in war funding without any conditions. Not only without the withdrawal conditions, but without any other meaningful restriction on his ability to extend the war and to escalate the war. So the word compromise, I would argue, isn't really appropriate.
Well, you know, I'm not sure, Robert, if you're quite on the line yet, but there are a lot of Democrats that are outraged with the Democratic leadership right now. Whether we're talking about accountability, which is something that many Democrats went to the polls for in 06 to hold this administration accountable, or it's to the loudest mandate, end this war and get our troops home, the leadership is not providing a clear path to success. How much trouble are they in right now, the Democrats?
Well, I think the key questions are, what happens from here? One thing that is going to make a big difference is if, as now expected, the House and the Senate pass a supplemental, and the Bush administration says, now we can do whatever we want, and they continue to escalate, I think a lot of Democrats are going to feel extremely burned and outraged. The San Francisco Chronicle had a piece this week where they talked about a second surge going on, looking at deployment orders that puts the Bush administration on track to doubling U.S. combat troops in Iraq by Christmas. So if that's what the future holds, people will be even more outraged than they are today.
Part of the challenge here is now what we're kind of what they're trying to sell a little bit is, hey, listen, come September, you know, we're really gonna hold this guy accountable. I mean, you know, we have to fund the troops because if we don't, we're not supporting them. I mean, you know, you've heard all the spin. So come September,
believe that. That's certainly the story that's told as you described it. But I'm not sure that that's even the real issue. I mean, clearly, there are the majority of the Democratic caucus is ready to pull the plug on this war. 171 people in the House voted for, mostly, overwhelmingly Democrats, voted for the McGovern bill, which would have set a firm timetable for withdrawing from Iraq. So the majority of Democrats are there, but not, I mean, talking about, Washington Democrats, but not every Washington Democrat's there, in particular in the Senate, where the Democrats have this nominal 51 seat majority that includes Joe Lieberman, who's, you know, more for the Iraq war than even President Bush sometimes it seems like, there's where, you know, you have a real problem. So I think, you know, it's not that I think Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid are afraid of being accused of not supporting the troops. It's that there are a couple weak wheels on the wagon. And until those folks, especially in the Senate, are held to account or feel more pressure from, you know, like primary challenges and things like that, demonstrations and occupations of their office, whatever it takes in that particular district to make those people bend to the will of the public, that's what I think is going to turn this around.
Robert Naiman, again, my guest. You can find his latest tome at Common Dreams. And, again, just look for the article titled Iraq War Funding Compromise or Sellout. You know, Robert, as I'm sitting here wondering what happens now, these especially freshman members of Congress go home for the Memorial Day holiday. Many of them ran on an anti-war or stop the war platform. How do they go home and explain this to their constituency?
Well, I think they're going to have some unpleasant conversations. I think, obviously, the first thing you're going to say is, well, look, you know, I did what I could. I voted this way. This is what I said. You know, I voted against, hopefully, most of them, all of them, will say I voted against the supplemental, the vote that's, you know, taking place even as we speak, the war supplemental. And then the second question will be, well, okay, you know, you voted the right way. What were you doing to try and pressure other members of Congress? I think that's the other question they're going to have to answer. You know, what were you doing to pressure the leadership? What were you doing to pressure those Democrats that wanted to support the president? And hopefully what will happen is that having, you know, had their ears burned by those meetings in the district, they'll go back to Washington and pound the table harder in those internal Democratic meetings and say, look, we're not taking, you know, we're not taking the fall for you on this. You know, we're going to expose you, and we're going to make clear that if you know, right-wing, conservative Democrats, whatever you are, if you support the president, then this is your responsibility just as much as the president's responsibility.
You know, and you ask two questions in this piece that I referenced. So, Robert, let's ask the first question. First, why is the overall funding level set in stone? I think that that's an excellent question to ask. I wouldn't even know who to ask it to.
Well, the key thing here is that there was never any debate about the level, the size of the president's request. That was just put off the table immediately. And the argument for putting it off the table was saying, oh, well, you know, we don't want to be accused of holding up the money for the troops. And so not only are we going to approve every dollar that Bush has asked for, we're going to give him even more money so nobody can accuse us of messing around with the money. The thing is, though, what the president asked for was $100 billion. And supposedly, you know, when the president made this request for supplemental funding, supplemental is supposed to stand for the fact that it's supposed to cover the rest of the fiscal year until September 30th. So that's like June, July, August, and September. $100 billion, if it were truly for that period, that would represent more than doubling the rate of funding compared with last year. So the more plausible explanation, obviously they've escalated, so that's going to cost more than it cost last year. But that raises the two questions. Well, how much of an escalation are they paying for? Is it this second surge that the San Francisco Times is talking about? And the other question is this really for 4 months? Or is the Congress, in approving $100 billion, really approving money for the war well past September 30th? And I think both of these things are true, that by approving $100 billion, they're approving an expansion of the war and an extension of the war. And they're undermining, you know, if their plan is, well, we're going to come back in September and we're going to push again, they're undermining their leverage 4 months from now because they are already giving Bush a green light to continue the war even at escalated levels well into next year.
Yeah, and then of course, and we'll start now, but and after the break we'll close the circle on this. But second question was on May 17th, the House passed the Defense Authorization of 2008. The bill includes $142 billion with the B dollars in combat operations in Iraq and Afghanistan, but does not require troop withdrawals or place restrictions on the war. If the intent of the House leadership on the 2008 authorization is that passage on May 17th was the last word on the matter, it's hard to reconcile that a plan of revisiting the issue of the war in the fall. And, you know, Robert, again, people need answers. People want more than answers. People want some kind of resolution. They want to know that there's a plan. And again, I don't want to beat up too much on the Democratic leadership, but they know that's what we want. Why couldn't they have taken the package that they put through the first time and kept reintroducing it until the president got the message that they weren't going to back down?
Well, the short answer to that is because they didn't have 51 votes in the Senate for doing that. They had, again, there was too many weak wheels in the Senate. They had the support for that in the House, but they were afraid that they could pass that again in the House, but they couldn't get it through the Senate. In fact, they couldn't even, you know, Mercer proposed to fund the war for 2 to 3 months. Okay, without conditions, we'll just come back in 2 to 3 months. That passed the House, but they couldn't pass that in the Senate. So,
all right, Robert, I'm going to have to ask you to hold that thought. We've got to get to the break here. It's 47 minutes after the hour. We'll come right back in and get to that. Robert Nayman, my guest. Tony Trupiano in for Peter B. Collins. Again, if you want to join us, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. If you'd like to send me an email, feel free to do that. Tony@thetonyshow.com. Let's take a quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
Nine a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us, the Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
You know,
the show on KRXA 540.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. questions, call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Billy Sunshine Show. Billy Sunshine Show.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different. Or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show. Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5. On AM 540. KRXA.
It's not a coincidence we're at the extreme left side of the dial. The hour, Tony Truppiano back with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. Peter will be off for a few days. Honored to sit in for him. Want to remind you again, if you want to join us, that toll-free number, 888-573-8372. Robert Naiman, again, my guest. Robert is the National Coordinator and Senior Policy Analyst at Just Foreign Policy. Robert, before we went to break, for people like you and I that really follow these issues, the level of frustration is off the charts right now. Part of my concern, and we'll get back to our discussion in just a minute, but part of my concern here is the Democrats, that 100-day agenda that they were so proud of, that they finished, or the 100-hour agenda that they finished in whatever it was, there's really been no activity. We thought that gridlock that we saw in Congress, certainly in throughout the year of 2006, would finally be broken, that logjam would be broken, that we would see movement, but I just see the president getting victory after victory after victory.
Well, I think a couple of things can be said there. One is that when the Democrats began with their agenda, when the Democratic leadership began with their agenda, the Iraq War wasn't on it. There was a list of other things that they wanted to talk about. But the war forced its way onto the agenda because, as you pointed out, people were expecting, that was one of the key reasons that people said they were electing a Democratic Congress. They wanted to see action on that. And more generally, I think you can say that it, both politically and financially, it's going to be hard to move a real domestic reform agenda in the United States until we deal with the empire. If the president of the United States has a blank check to start foreign wars whenever he wants and invade other countries and keep these wars going indefinitely and escalate them, well, then we're never going to get national health care in the United States. We're never going to get a decent minimum wage, living wage jobs for every American if we can't deal with this permanent war. So in a way, as difficult as it may be, they've got to deal with Iraq before they can make fundamental progress on this other stuff. They did pass the minimum wage increase. Of course, they got some blowback from the president and from Republicans in the Senate. They actually just put it through again as part of the supplemental package, and now it's going to become law. And that is, I think, kind of a big deal. If you're making the minimum wage, somebody passes a law that says that it's going to go up by a couple dollars an hour, that's a huge wage increase. It's long overdue. There's been a tremendous erosion in the real value of the minimum wage over the last 20 or so years. So, that's something. That's something very real for low-income workers. But there's clearly so many other things that need to be done, that need to happen. The House passed labor law reform, the Employee Free Choice Act. Again, they had problems in the Senate, but that, that's a start. Again, that would be a tremendous, if that becomes law, that labor law reform, that would be a tremendous difference in the lives of working Americans to again have the right for private sector workers to organize a union without fear of being fired. That would be a very dramatic change. So, we could sort of taste the beginnings. We had like a little bit of the soup, but we definitely haven't had the meal.
I want my entree, Robert. I want my entree, damn it.
Me too.
I'm hungry.
Me too.
And I got to tell you, I've spent a lion's share of my radio career as in fact, in the state of Michigan, I am known as the voice of labor. I have walked picket lines. I have been to the negotiating table. I literally did a remote broadcast from a negotiation once. Now, they weren't very happy about it, the other side, but we did it anyway.
Uh-huh.
And again, whether we're talking about protecting labor in this country, letting employees by mandate when they sign that card that says, yes, I want to be in a union, let that count as their vote, whether it's the minimum wage package or it's health care reform or, God bless us, the war in Iraq, and very quickly, because we're almost out of time, in here, in your article, again, at Common Dreams, titled Iraq War Funding Compromise or Sellout, you write, Democrats right now don't have the congressional votes or the public support to further press their case. I believe they do have. I disrespectfully disagreeing with you, I do believe that there's public support.
If you read the sentence a little more carefully, I was making the argument, and I said, suppose we accept that, even if we accept that, I was just quoting what's being said, making the point that even if we accept that, then the actions of the leadership still don't make sense. I completely agree with you that they do have the public support. The question is they have the votes. Well, in the Senate, they didn't have the votes. But the question is, well, how do you get to where you do have the votes? And that's where the more pressure is needed. But sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Robert, I'm pleased that you wrote what you wrote. I'm pleased that you took the time. You see, we're one of those people, and this is a message that I try to deliver to my audience every day and anybody that'll listen to me. What you're doing, Robert Naiman, is you're not just showing up any longer, you're standing up. That's the kind of courage we need to change things in this country. And so I want to thank you for that.
Well, I want to thank you for what you're doing. And, what you're doing, what I'm doing, is what many Americans are doing and any American could do. And if more Americans do these things, we will see the changes that we want to see.
Absolutely. Well, again, I want to, Robert Naiman, thank you again for being with us. Again, you're going to find that article at Common Dreams, and so go check that out. That's commondreams.org. And, again, I'm sure you can just search for Iraq War Funding, and you'll find the article. Well worth the short amount of time it will take to read. All right, we're going to take a very quick break here for the top of the hour. Again, I'm Tony Trupiano in for Peter B. Peter is off for a few days, so he's letting me keep the chair warm, and I appreciate that. The very capable Brian and the absolutely amazingly intelligent Katrina help guiding me through this, and I appreciate that a great deal. So we will take a quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, if you want to join us in the next hour, I want to encourage you to do that. 888-573-8372. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be right back.
Conspiracy issues bother you? Want to learn more about a subject of interest? ConspiracyCon.com. The conference is this Saturday and Sunday at San Jose DoubleTree Inn. 9/11 World Trade Center, International Monetary System. Over 10 controversial lecturers will be speaking. ConspiracyCon.com, San Jose DoubleTree Inn, or call 383-2676 for rideshare. ConspiracyCon.com.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Right now on Capitol Hill.
The Democratic Congress gives President Bush money to fight the Iraq War, delaying to another day the fight over withdrawing troops.
The president predicts heavy fighting ahead.
could be a bloody, it could be a very difficult August.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Let's go live to Capitol Hill and CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss. Bob, the House just passed the war funding compromise.
It did, forced by political reality to take what House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called a baby step. Democratic leaders put forward the bill to fund the Iraq war, but had to rely on Republican votes to pass it. California Republican David Dreyer was pleased.
To support our troops and allow them to complete their mission.
Dennis Kucinich was one of many Democrats who didn't want to back down on requiring a date to bring U.S. troops out.
It's time this Congress took responsibility to bring the troops home, to end this war.
The bill, headed for Senate approval later tonight, which President Bush says he'll sign, also has $20 billion in other spending, agricultural disaster aid, rebuilding after Katrina, and child health care, and it raises the minimum wage. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Fuss, CBS News.
I'm Mark Noller at the White House, where President Bush used a Rose Garden news conference to warn that this summer could bring a surge in bloodshed and U.S. casualties in Iraq. He says al-Qaeda and the insurgents know that U.S. Commander General David Petraeus has promised a progress report to Congress in September.
What they're going to try to do is kill as many innocent people as they can to try to influence the debate here at home.
Mr. Bush concedes that Iraq has been a long and difficult experience for the American people, but he says those who think the U.S. can withdraw without consequences are naive.
A CBS News poll finds Americans losing faith in the president's strategy.
In this survey, 76% of Americans say the war is going badly. That's the highest number ever. And even more surprisingly, a majority of Republicans, 52%, also agree that the war is not going well.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic says that nearly 2-1 Americans say we should set a timetable for withdrawal. Now this.
In the Army, Jack Reacher handpicked an elite team of military cops to deal with trouble no one else could handle. A decade later, a coded message finds Reacher. His team of special investigators is turning up dead. Now Reacher will settle the score in Bad Luck and Trouble by New York Times bestselling author Lee Child. You do not mess with the special investigators, and you do not want to miss Bad Luck and Trouble by Lee Child, wherever books are sold from Delacorte.
The Michelin Man has hit the road to test his tires. Today he's on Nevada's aptly named Loneliest Road. He'll go vast distances without anything in sight, including a gas pump. That's why he's chosen Michelin Hydro Edge tires. As the longest lasting, most fuel efficient tires in their category, they're just right for lonely roads and high gas prices. To learn more about saving gas with Michelin Hydro Edge tires, visit MichelinMan.com.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Category defined as premium priced S&T passenger products.
So far, the immigration compromise is holding. Today, the Senate rejected an attempt to phase out the temporary worker program. One of the dealmakers, Democrat Ted Kennedy, is optimistic.
I think we've made progress this week. We're under no illusion that there aren't some very difficult and challenging times ahead, but I think the American people have spoken this week when they said we want the Senate to act.
They've spoken to Arizona Republican John Kyle.
I have learned some new words from some of my constituents.
He's taking heat for signing on to the plan. It's so easy to pay with plastic, but the group Consumer Action says credit card issuers make it hard to avoid high fees. CBS News correspondent Cammy McCormick reports.
Next time you think of waiting until the last minute to pay a credit card bill.
A lot of people will try to go online or pay by phone at the last minute. A lot of issuers charge you for that.
As much as $15, according to this survey of top credit card issuers. And if you just can't pay, even at the last minute, late fees are higher than ever.
You may pay a minute late, and they can get you with a late fee that could be as high as $39.
And your late payment could trigger an interest rate hike. Linda Sherry of Consumer Action says that explains why
Americans are really buried in credit card debt.
Cammy McCormick, CBS News, New York.
Best Buy, the electronics chain, is being accused of bait and switch by Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal. He says customers are lured into stores by deep discounts on Best Buy's website, only to be shown an internal website with higher prices.
Best Buy betrayed its promise to consumers that it would match the lowest price, whether on its own online site or elsewhere.
Best Buy denies the allegation, saying a small percentage of customers didn't get the best price because of confusion. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway?
Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge. Stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on. You know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number, 866-40-GO-NOW. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-40-GO-NOW for all the exciting details. That's 866-40-GO-NOW. Call now.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Your humble host is away today, so please continue to give a warm left coast welcome to a great progressive from Motown. And Tony, as a campaign donor, I hope you will run for Congress again in 2008. Here he is, Tony Truppiano.
Tony Truppiano with you. Thanks, Peter. Appreciate those sentiments. I'm not going to be answering that one anytime real soon. Hope you're all doing well. It's a pleasure to be with you. Let me remind you, you know, he had to do that to me, right? He had to throw that in the open there. If you want to join us, the toll-free number here at the Peter B. Collins Show, toll-free again, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. If you'd like to send me an email, Tony@thetonyshow.com. I'll be with you over the course of a few days here, leading up to the Memorial Day holiday, and then certainly on Tuesday next week. So I'm looking forward to that, and hope everybody has a beautiful holiday. But we got to get through the next couple of days first, right? You know, we're going to take an interesting perspective. For those of you that didn't see it earlier today, President Bush gave a did some remarks in the Rose Garden with regard to the Iraq supplemental bill and immigration reform. And those remarks, interestingly enough, if you paid close enough attention, and I know for many of you that's difficult to do, but if you paid close enough attention, there was enough in there to offend just about everybody. And I'll keep my personal opinions to myself for right now. But we've got a couple guests in this hour, and we're going to start with Zeshan Zuhel, who is a board member for Americans for Informed Democracy. And Zeshan, I want to welcome you to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Tony. It's nice to meet you.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, Tony.
I would like you to give my audience a little background on you. I understand that you're a Muslim. I understand that, and I'm not sure what your country of origin is. So if you just give us a little background on you, I'd appreciate it.
Sure. So I'm actually originally from Pakistan, and I've spent about equal amount of time in both countries, actually. I was raised over here, grew up here, and then went back for several years, spent my teenage years there, did a bit of college, and came back and kind of resumed life from there. And I joined Americans for Informed Democracy because they're working to build bridges between the East and West through a program called Hope Not Hate, and it really appealed to me, and so I've been doing a lot of work on their behalf in the New York City area, a lot of conferences, panel discussions, film screenings, and the like.
All right, now, let's take a little more global. Before we get to the president's remarks today, let's take a little more global, have a little more global conversation here.
Sure.
You know, you're well-traveled. You obviously are a very intelligent young man. You obviously are very learned. It seems to me that you're a very compassionate human being. I believe in hope and not hate. But yet, over the course of the last 6 years, America has begun, and it hasn't been a very slow decline, a decline in the way that they are perceived around the world. Let me just share with you, Zeshan, that I happen to live in Dearborn, Michigan, And as you know, there are a great many Muslims here. There's, in fact, the largest concentration of Arabs outside the Middle East. And this, you know, these are top. These are my neighbors, and we break bread together. Our kids play sports together, and you know, they. It's an interesting thing, and most people don't understand this. Muslims that live in this country are both sad for America and sad for their homeland, and are really very torn between the two.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think what you're saying implicitly is this identity crisis of sorts. And I couldn't have put it better when you said that the past 6 years, really, what's been going on with American foreign policy as it relates to the Middle East and the Muslim world in general. I mean, it's one thing that 9/11 happened and that so many lives and so much property and, you know, all those tremendous losses that, you know, collectively all of America really lost. But in response to that, for President Bush to go on and, create Guantanamo and kind of bring it up, raise it up from the ashes and to populate it with these inmates who were picked up completely arbitrarily off of, what is for him the battlefield. You know, essentially it's the whole world now that he deems them enemy combatants. Guantanamo has upset many Muslims across the world, and I think that's a real thorn in their side. And then you have, incidents like Abu Ghraib and Hadithah, which are isolated, I understand, and a lot of people point that out to me. But what isn't isolated is the fact that in response to that, the government is still not doing enough to counter how these soldiers and troops are trained. I mean, it's appallingly low, the number of Arabic linguists that we have, the experts, in Arabic culture that we have in the army. The recruitment is not only low, but what they're being taught in the army is also extremely ethnocentric. We know nothing about this enemy, this supposed enemy, quote unquote. And I put it in quotes because it's such an ill-defined term. We don't know who we're fighting. We don't know what we're fighting for. People across the Muslim world call this a war of terror and not so much a war on terror. And so I think the last 6 years have really, we've seen this growing gap between the West and the Islamic world. And the incidents that I've related, I think, are perfect examples of why those gaps have arisen in the first place.
Again, my guest is Zeeshan Zahel, and I have to ask you, Zeeshan, did you see the president's remarks in the Rose Garden today?
Well, not in the Rose Garden. I saw the ones at the Coast Guard Academy where he actually made the initial point of talking about the enemy being very much like the Vietnamese. So I don't know what to make of it.
That is really my question. I mean, what do we make of this president's posturing on the war? In very selected times, it's not often that he talks about Islam and as a religion of peace. He's only done it a few times, and yet he has no problem saying, you know, Islamic extremists.
Right.
And most Americans, unfortunately, are uneducated to what Islam is to begin with.
Right, yeah. I mean, the way I look at it, it's for me, it's deja vu, because last year when he made the comments about Islamic fascism, which for me seemed initially when I heard it, I'm like, wow, that's such an oxymoron, and how paradoxical to hear such a thing from the president's mouth. You know, as soon as he gets off Air Force One, I thought it was jet lag he was suffering from, but apparently he was very serious about it. And I when I heard these comments again, I was just wondering, you know, this is just, you know, that whole Islamic fascism thing all over again, and now the conservatives and the right wings are just going to, you know, beat their drums once again. And it's interesting he said that because there really isn't a threat emerging from Iraq right now. Contrary, actually, and I can draw your attention to a recent article that came in the Washington Post. This was in, like, March or something, where high-ranking officials in his own administration are saying that we do not see a perceived threat from Iraq. And so it looks like a pendulum just going back and forth, oscillating from one, you know, viewpoint to the other. He says one thing and sometimes he says the other. But I do completely agree with you on the fact that he really doesn't mention the fact that Islam is inherently a religion of peace. I mean, we draw our roots from Judaism and Christianity, and the only time he actually mentioned that Islam is in fact a religion of peace and that we have nothing against the religion per se was in the aftermath of 9/11. And at that point, it really didn't do much good because weeks later, the Patriot Act was passed and special registration was enacted and thousands of Muslims have been deported from the country. So I don't know what good that really did. I mean, it's
I would suggest it did no good. If anything, it did more damage. And,
yeah.
You know, I remember, you know, back during that period after September 11th, I was actually doing overnights at that time.
Okay.
And, you know, people would, you know, there was a guy that called the show one night from New Orleans. I'll never forget this.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, I got to tell you, as a black man, as an African-American,
yeah.
Finally, he says, they're going to pick on another minority.
Wow. Yeah, it's really interesting you say that because I think there's a sentiment within the Muslim community right now that we are in many ways the new blacks, the new Hispanics, and we're far from the Asian, you know, model minority. And it's interesting how a very, very small group of people thousands of miles away has done such tremendous damage to reputations and to legacies and to heritage. The way it has done in the wake of 9/11 and 9/11 itself, but it's also interesting. I think I should draw your attention to the fact that in the case of the blacks and Hispanics, we're talking about races. We're talking about a variety of ethnicities and heritages that are drawn from various regions across the globe. But as far as the Muslim world is concerned, I mean, you see even in America, converts who are white, black, Hispanic, and then you've got all of the immigrants from South Asia, from Southeast Asia, from Africa, the Middle East. And so it's interesting because a black man could be Muslim, and at the same time, he could be victim of driving while black, or number two, flying while Muslim, which is a very recent phenomenon after 9/11. And so we really have been bearing the brunt of both racial as well as ethnic bigotry and hatred in some ways, and I couldn't agree more with what that gentleman from the New Orleans said. And it's, I don't know, you know, in the history of the United States, there's going to be some community who's going to take our place sooner or later. That's the way it's been for the past several decades. And
what a sad commentary that is on our society in general.
Absolutely,
my guest, we've got to get to the break. Zeeshan, stay right where you're at. Zeeshan Suhail is with us. He is a board member for Americans for Informed Democracy. We'll ask him a little bit about that on the other side as well. If you'd like to join us, the number here on the Peter B. Collins Show, 888-573-8372, and the email address, at least while I'm hanging out here, tony@thetonyshow.com. There's a lot more to get to in this hour. I invite your calls. Alice, I love you. Thank you for calling and saying hi to Brian and saying hi to me. We'll take the break. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years. And he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
This Sunday morning at 10 on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, meet Glenn Plantone, Rock Rollin' Real Estate's own Indiana Jones. Glenn covers all over the world for the best real estate investments, and this week he'll be talking about a condo hotel project in Orlando, Florida. Call him at 702-769-9872. 702-769-9872. That's this Sunday morning at 10, your number one source in real estate investments, Rock Rollin' Real Estate, right here on KRXA 540.
Okay, you want a website? What next? A lot of people can do the job, but you want innovation at a reasonable price. You want Dale Edward. Dale builds amazing websites with streaming video. Being a pro photographer ensures high-quality content. Websites, wedding, and special events photography, all at a reasonable price. Go to DaleEdward.com or call 277-9847. That's 277-9847.
All righty, folks, let's take a look at the latest and get you caught up with traffic. All right, we're going to talk about Watsonville Beach Road at San Andreas. A pickup truck apparently skidded off the roadway. Crews have shut down the eastbound lane to recover that vehicle as we speak. Also want to mention the fact that we have a Carmel. It looks like Highway 1 at San Luis Avenue. It is a crash there. It is on the right shoulder, and I can let you know that CHP is on the scene there. That's really the only information we have on that one. Also want to mention Hollister, Highway 25 at Shore. It's a motorcycle down on the right shoulder. No injuries reported, and CHP is on the scene there. Santa Cruz, southbound 1 at Morrissey Boulevard. We have one of the lanes blocked because of a stalled vehicle. This report brought to you by the California Department of Health Services. You can't fight cigarette addiction without a solid plan. Quit smoking, 1-800-NO-BUTS.
And welcome back. Tony Truppiano with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. A pleasure to be with you, and we'll be here for a few days, and hopefully you'll continue to hang out with us. A lot to get to. Lots going on in the world, and a lot of things that I guess as I was preparing for the show today, as you begin to read, as you begin to wrap your mind around some of what I consider to be atrocities in their own right. Certainly, the way that we have created havoc in the Middle East, the way that we have created really hatreds in parts of the world where it was unnecessary for us to do that. And you stop and you think about the gravity of that, and it can be quite overwhelming. My guest again is Zeeshan Zuhail, and I'm probably saying your last name wrong, and I apologize for that, Zeeshan Zuhail. Is Zuhail the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, it's Zuhail.
All right, thank you. And sure. He is a board member for Americans for Informed Democracy. Before we continue with our discussion, what is Americans for Informed Democracy? I would assume awfully a lot what it sounds like.
Sure, yeah. So basically it's a nonprofit organization. It's a 501c3. We're based out of New Haven, Connecticut, where we're basically just trying to make global issues more accessible to American youth, particularly high school and college students, and we're reaching out to young professionals as they come out of college as well. The group was founded after 9/11, when a bunch of students went to England and Europe to study abroad, and found that there was a lot of sympathy and a lot of a lot of questions and curiosity that these people had, and they wanted to know more about what Americans thought of America's role in the post 9/11 world. And so the group came back, founded the organization, and so now we do a lot of work on all sorts of issues and the environment and health and youth leadership and partnership building, things like that, because we've noticed that a lot of Americans are clearly not up to date when it comes to geography and history, current affairs, social studies. We're really living in a bubble, and the comfort zone we're in right now is one that we don't want to emerge from. So I guess in some ways that's also you can draw parallels with that and the U.S. government right now as well, I guess.
Unfortunately, that is so true. Again, the number if you want to join us, we have a few minutes left, 888-573-8372. You know, there is a misconception, and people think, you know, we hear Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda is not the same as Muslim, Muslim, Muslim.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm glad you said that, because it's so unfortunate that the media has drummed into our heads, and it's drilled it so constantly and so you know, frequently, that whatever image you see or whenever you hear the name, the word Muslim, it basically conjures up these images of men who are just out to get you, or who are basically willing to give their lives away, and that's clearly just the smallest fraction of Islam, not to mention probably radical Islam that 99% of Muslims don't even follow, and I think the fact of the matter is that implicit in our discussion right now, Tony, is the fact that media reform is really the call of the hour, and it's something that I'm a big proponent of, because I'm really disappointed with the way CNN and Fox News and several other media outlets have really contributed to the mess we're in, far from their ideals of spreading good, you know, good news and enlightening us and educating us in many ways. They've actually polluted our minds and taken away such valuable opportunities to build partnerships, to build bridges. A big reason why we're in the mess we're in today is because the media has acted so tremendously irresponsible. And for that, I really hope that the American people will quickly realize that there are alternative and independent sources out there to rely on. And CNN, unfortunately, contrary to the name, is not really the most trusted name in news.
Well, but let me ask you to be just a little more specific there. That indictment, I don't think is displaced, but why do you think that they have culpability?
Well, for the simple matter that they're not representing the community's voice at large. I mean, clearly, I'll quote results from the recent Pew Center research on Muslims in America, where according to the results, I mean, Muslims are leading happy lives here. They're satisfied. They know that if they work hard, they're going to have prosperous lives. They've assimilated and integrated well into American society. And you know, if you keep your tabs on current affairs, a lot of Muslims are coming up in the corporate world. Keith Ellison, finally the first Muslim to be elected to Congress. So they are really, you know, integrating themselves well and really becoming part of the social fabric, but seldom do you hear any positive news about these sorts of developments in the mainstream media. And all you really do hear about is some terrorist attack, some suicide bombing. You don't really hear any constructive debate about what the background is, what the root causes are. And we really leave it just to these right-wing pundits who proclaim themselves as experts in the religion.
Zeeshan, I want to thank you for being with us. We're just out of time. Again, he's with Americans for Informed Democracy. I know you can find them online. Thank you so much for being with us.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Gouge me.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The House of Representatives has passed the Federal Price Gouging Prevention Act, a bill making it unlawful for any person to sell crude oil, gasoline, etc., at any price that is unconscionably excessive. And the sponsors will tell you it's tough. 10 years in prison, fines up to $150 million. There's only one thing no one can tell you, how this will ever work. Does anybody think a law against price gouging is actually going to stop price gouging? It came out in the testimony that the price jumps in Europe for the same gas have been much smaller than here. That's supposed to be evidence of how badly gouged we are. But I think it's evidence of something else. The Europeans actually have a choice. If they don't want to drive, they can get on a train. Heck, I've been in European towns where you can walk places, even flabby people. In the typical American suburb, the only place you can walk is to your sport court. Because there's only one real way to control the price of gasoline or any product, and that is to make it possible for people not to buy it when it costs too much. And that's our fault. Most of us want to live in suburbs that are business-free and to get into a 200-horsepower car to buy lettuce, which I admit can be a lot of fun. But then you have to face the truth, which is the reason we get gouged is that we deliberately created the transportation system that makes gouging possible. If there were other ways to get around, we could tell those oil companies exactly where they could stick their high-priced gas. As it is, there's only one place we can tell them to stick it, and that's in my tank. Fill her up. Gouge me. I love the pain. Now this.
I'm thrilled my husband is such a do-it-yourselfer. But some things are better left to professionals. We learned that the hard way after a recent termite problem. Oh, it turns out household pests can cause major property damage and contribute to serious health problems. Now I trust a pest professional to keep our home pest-free. With my home and family, I don't take risks. And in the long run, we even save money, too. Ow! Oh, honey!
Visit pestworld.org to find a qualified pest professional today.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. Please give a warm left coast welcome to a great progressive voice from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. Here's Tony Truppiano.
And there's again, you know, we're gonna in a way continue the conversation from the first part of this hour. Again, invite your participation. If you want to send me an email, feel free to do that. Tony@thetonyshow.com. And joining me now is Robert Dreyfus. Robert is an investigative reporter for Rolling Stone, Mother Jones, American Prospect, The Nation, My Favorite Mag, and others. He's the author of the book Devil's Game. And he also can be found online, by the way, at robertdreyfus.com. And Robert, I want to welcome you to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's nice to meet you.
Thanks. It's always great to be here.
I appreciate it. The war on terror. Let me just take you back to the press conference, Robert, earlier today. I watched it with great interest. There were a couple things that really jumped out at me during that. One of them was when the president was talking about the supplemental vote, three times he said it as if the vote had already happened, and then slyly corrected himself the last time. That one jumped out at me in a big way. But, you know, part of what's going on here, and whether we're talking about the war, whether we're talking about immigration, the bottom line is the slogans have failed, the policy has failed, our leadership has failed, and yet all we seem to dialogue about in a pop culture way is, how are we going to support the troops? My question is, how are we going to get them home?
Yeah. Well, you know, what struck me about the president's performance today, and by the way, I cannot watch it. I read the transcript because I cannot stand to watch his mannerisms and his attempts to be funny and the way he calls the press corps little nicknames and everything. But okay. Every time he's backed into a corner, he's like a magician with a bad act. He reaches into his hat and he pulls out the boogeyman of Al-Qaeda. And I just don't think the audience is scared anymore. I mean, one of the things we can be thankful for, and there aren't too many these days, is the trauma of 9/11 is starting to wear off, and people are opening their eyes, and they're seeing that this guy that we thought was the crusader who was going to save us from this big bad terrorism threat is really just a kind of a small-time bungler. And so I just don't think this Al-Qaeda thing is working anymore. And you know, he justifies the war in Iraq by saying we're fighting Al-Qaeda. It doesn't even bother saying anymore, you know, spreading democracy to the Middle East or some grand notions about reordering the region. But it's all just if we don't stay in Iraq, they're going to follow us home.
Well, and that was the other thing that jumped out at me. He actually said that today, did he not?
Yeah, you know. The oddest thing of all is he said himself yesterday, he leaked some intelligence from several years ago now, this is, saying that Osama bin Laden had told Zarqawi, who used to be the top terrorist in Iraq, he was killed a year ago, he said that bin Laden told Zarqawi to start plotting to attack America. So if it's true that they're going to follow us home, then why are they, according to him, already plotting to attack America? It just, his rationale makes no sense at all. It just makes no sense. And I've talked to many, many experts on terrorism, and almost none of them think that Al-Qaeda is going to follow us home if we leave Iraq. The people we're fighting in Iraq are not really Al-Qaeda. They're only a small, small part of the resistance, the insurgency in Iraq. 98% of it, I don't know what figure you want to put on it, are just what one former intelligence guy said to me, are just pissed off Iraqis, people who want us out of their country. So once we leave, they may fight each other, they may try to rebuild the country or something in between, but they're not going to get on boats and planes and come here to fight us. And in fact, there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq, there was no terrorism in Iraq, until we went there and destroyed the state and allowed this chaotic mess to emerge. So,
and sadly, Robert Dreyfus, as I spend a lot of time reading the blogs, and I'm one of those people that'll actually hold my nose and go to the conservative blogs as well, On the conservative blogs, there's still an ongoing defense of this war in Iraq, because if we don't keep them over there, they will come over here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, the Pentagon still budgets the war in Iraq under the title of Global War on Terrorism. In other words, they don't even have a line item for war in Iraq. It's part of the global war on terrorism. And I was very encouraged yesterday by a speech that John Edwards gave. He spoke to the Council on Foreign Relations. And the first time I can remember a major politician saying, let me just tell you, I'll read you a quote or two from the thing. He said, "The war on terror is a slogan designed only for politics, not a strategy. It's a bumper sticker, not a plan. It's used to justify everything from the Iraq War to Guantanamo to illegal spying on American people. It's even been used by this White House and as a partisan weapon to bludgeon their political opponents." He's absolutely right. This war on terrorism is the phoniest war that the United States has ever been involved in, and the proof of the pudding, the incontrovertible proof of it, is that it's going to be 6 years since 9/11, and not one American here in this country has even been punched in the nose by an angry Muslim. So if this enemy is so big and vast and threatening and, you know, dangerous, where are they? Why aren't they coming here to fight us? Why aren't they sending legions of terrorists here to shoot up our shopping malls and blow up our school buses? You know, either you believe that this administration, which couldn't get trailers to New Orleans in an expedited manner, is so brilliantly effective that we've stopped all these terrorists from coming here, or maybe there just aren't so many terrorists. Maybe this war is exaggerated, and maybe the threat is being exaggerated. Edwards said yesterday, whether by manipulating threat levels leading up to elections or deeming opponents weak on terror, they have shown no hesitation whatsoever about using fear to divide. And I just hope that Edwards' comments get picked up by some of the mushier Democrats like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, and that the Democrats start, you know, pointing out that this emperor has no clothes. And by the way, I think that's a good metaphor, because clearly Bush, well, he's messed it up, but he's been trying to build an empire. But it's utterly, catastrophically failed. And now he's, you know, like any charlatan, he reaches into this, you know, his back pocket, and he tries to pull out this al-Qaeda threat to scare us every time people criticize him.
Well, yeah, and I think part of the reality, I want to go back to something you were saying a moment ago, and I actually had said this in the last half hour, Robert Dreyfus. I live in Dearborn, Michigan. I am surrounded on a daily basis by my neighbors, my friends, that are Muslim, that are Arab.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly after September 11th, there was this feeling of an honest-to-God truth. My kids were in Little League football at the time. Robert, honest-to-God's truth, the Muslims that were involved in that program after September 11th for a solid 4 weeks wouldn't even look somebody in the eye. They were afraid. This country is not about fear.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be fair, everybody was afraid after 9/11. Everybody was wondering, you know, are we going to be attacked again? Now Muslims and Arabs especially were blamed for the attack like it was some, vast jihad against the United States. Let me tell you, there's a lot of Muslims who look at this war on terrorism and rightly, I think, conclude that the President of the United States sees it as some kind of Christian war on Islam. And Bin Laden, the head terrorist, he sees it the same way, except vice versa. Here you have two individuals who are the two protagonists in this war on terrorism, who both see this as some vast clash of civilizations. But we need to totally, utterly change the rhetoric on this. We need to drop this notion of a war on terror. First of all, it isn't a war. I spent most of last summer interviewing a lot of terrorism experts and former intelligence officials, and they all agree. I couldn't find one person who liked the war metaphor, because the military is the last instrument you want to use against terrorists. What good is our military when terrorists can form a cell in a London suburb? Are we going to, you know, use our jet fighters and tanks to go into the suburbs of London? So it makes no sense. It's a law enforcement problem, first of all, with an intelligence component. And this idea that there's some war on terrorism where we have to start, you know, invading first Afghanistan and then Iraq and now, you know, blustering about Iran, it sure looks to Muslims like it's some sort of war on Islam. And by the way, that's another point that Edwards made yesterday. To his credit, I mean, he's quite brave in saying these things. But he said, by framing this as a war, I'm quoting Edwards again, we've walked right into the trap that terrorists have set, that we are engaged in some kind of clash of civilizations and a war against Islam. Now, I would love, again, to see other Democrats, and by the way, some Republicans, to start speaking out and saying this war on terrorism is a terrible phrase, and we're not gonna say it anymore. We don't want this war.
All right, Robert Dreyfuss again, my guest. I want to get a quick call in here before we get to the break, Robert. If you want to join us, toll free 888-573-8372. I want to welcome Lisa in Eureka to the Peter B. Collins Show. Go ahead, Lisa. What's your question for our guest?
Well, you know, I think it's wonderful if the mushy Democrats would pick these things up that John Edwards said, and that would be wonderful. But it would be even more wonderful if the mainstream media would. The biggest problem that we have in the United States, as I see it, is that the mainstream media is not picking these things up. It's not making them known to the masses, and they have a responsibility. So your guest there's opinion, how do we get this across to the mainstream media?
Well, you know, there are all kinds of people to blame for this, and I'm certainly a critic of the media, but I read about Edwards' speech in the New York Times, and I think it was pretty widely covered, and then you can, you know, do research online and so forth.
But not everybody has access to the online information.
Yeah, but
I live,
Lisa,
in a very small rural area.
Yeah,
not
Lisa,
everybody
let me,
up
let
here
me,
even owns
me,
a computer.
That's Lisa, true. Let me share Edwards, with you that the beyond the computer, beyond being online,
especially
all of the morning shows this morning were running this story. We've got to take a quick break here. Robert, stay right where you're at. Lisa, thank you so much for the call again.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you. My guest again, Robert Dreyfuss. You can go to robertdreyfuss.com. We're going to take a quick break here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay right where you're at. A lot more to get to on the other side.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Well, we're going to take a look at a problem being reported on northbound 17 before the summit, getting word of a crash there, although it does look like it's being pushed off to the right-hand shoulder, and CHP is on the way to the scene. Also want to mention Santa Cruz southbound 1 at Morrissey. It's a disabled vehicle blocking a lane there. CHP should be on scene. Looking at Hollister, Highway 25 at Shore, motorcycle down on the shoulder, and we're going to let you know that no injuries. That's a good news. CHP is there, however. Carmel, San Luis Avenue. At Highway 1, we have a two-vehicle crash on scene, and CHP is actually there as well. Aptos, northbound 1 before Soquel, two-car crash, right shoulder.
It is 51 minutes after the hour. Tony Truppiano back with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, feel free to join us toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Would you like to make a comment by email? Do that, tony@thetonyshow.com. My guest again is Robert Dreyfus. You can find him online at robertdreyfus.com. Now, Robert, I just want to go back to something Lisa was saying before we went to the break. I think that for many of us, when there's a story out there that we finally go, yes, you know, Edwards did it, he said it, this is great, we wanted to get the same kind of coverage as when, you know, the president gets a new dog.
Well, I think, you know, citizen activism, if people are looking for ways to get involved and engaged, ought to start with the politicians and with the constituency groups and not with the media. If enough Democrats, if enough politicians started making noise about the war on terrorism, the media would go along. If for no other reason, then it would create a controversy. And, in fact, what Edwards did yesterday created the beginnings of a real controversy. It caused the president to have to go back and address this and say that he disagrees with people who say that there's no war on terrorism and so forth. So I think the president, you know, is on the defensive. And say what you want about all of the problems that we have in this country and the media and everything else, finally, the public is starting to get it. And that proved itself in the elections last November, when the scare tactics that worked in 2002 and 2004 failed. And the reason they failed is because the public, maybe too late, slowly, but now clearly, is informed and aware, and they're not buying the snake oil anymore from the administration. So I think that's, you know, if you want to look on the bright side of this, it's too late for 500,000 Iraqis who died in this war. It's too late for 3,400 Americans who died in this war. But finally, Americans have woken up. And so we need to build on that. We need to build on that momentum. And I think what Edwards did and what is starting to happen in Congress with the fight over funding for the war, you know, as complicated and ugly to watch as it is because of all the compromising that's going on, it's a sign that things are slowly beginning to change.
And Robert, I've got to tell you, the word compromise outrages me here. I don't know where the Democrats got anything.
Well, I agree with your sentiment. Problem is, they didn't have the votes in the Senate to pass anything else. It's a 51-49 vote in the Senate, and as you know, one of those 51 is Joe Lieberman, who votes with the Republicans. And there's enough conservative Democrats from five or six states like Arkansas and Nebraska and some other places that were also simply not going to buy a confrontation with the president at this point. And so, you know, the president is still the president, and he gets to be the boss of the military, and he gets to veto attempts to stop his policy. And so, for myself, yeah, I would have liked to see them stick to their guns and simply pass that same bill again and make him veto it. And then if he vetoes it, do it again. But I don't think, and most people who follow Capitol Hill say they couldn't have passed it again because they would not have gotten the votes in the Senate to pass it again. So I don't know. I mean, there's going to be an opportunity in 2 weeks to do this again over the military budget. There's going to be a lot of other bills. It's going to be a guerrilla war in Congress between the administration and the Democrats. And guess who's caught in the middle? It's the Republicans. And with every passing day, the Republicans in Congress are going to start panicking, really, over the looming election in a year and a half. Because if this war is going on like this, and they're running a pro-war Republican for president next year, you're going to see a massacre of Republicans at the polls in 2008. So before that happens, I think you're going to start to see Republicans breaking with the White House.
And Robert, very quickly, we're almost out of time here. We did see 11 members of Congress, moderate Republicans, meet with the president, and that meeting was characterized interestingly. But at the same time, we do need a proactive way. We do need to give the American people what they voted for in 06. We do need to see the Democratic leadership stepping up beyond just rhetoric. We're not going to solve that one in the next 25 seconds. So, Robert Dreyfuss, I want to thank you for being with us today. I couldn't agree with you more, but it is time that we've got to figure out a way out, and maybe it does begin with the grassroots, Robert.
People got to keep the pressure on.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. RobertDreyfuss.com is the website you want to go to. We are going to take a quick break here for the top of the hour. Much more to get to in the next hour as well. Again, I want to remind you, I'm Tony Truppiano, and Peter B. Collins is going to be off for a few days. I'll be with you tonight, tomorrow, and on Tuesday. Peter will be back next Wednesday.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
I'm Todd Hurlbert, and I invite you to listen to The Week in Politics at our new time, 7 p.m. Monday nights.
We're Monterey's hardest-hitting political hot talk. We cover local politics, also tell you what's going on in Washington, D.C. And most importantly, we take your calls and find out what you think. So if you haven't listened to us before, find out what we're all about. Monday night, 7 p.m. It's The Week in Politics. See you there.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
On this vote, the yeas are 280 and the nays are 142. The second portion of the divided question is adopted.
What that means is that the House has approved new spending on the war in Iraq without setting a timetable for withdrawal. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Afraid to cut off money and unable to overcome a presidential veto, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi put forward a bill she couldn't bring herself to vote for.
We could have put ourselves taking a giant step in a new direction. Instead, we're taking a baby step. But as I said, this is not the end of the debate.
Indeed, the $100 billion only pays for the war for 4 months. And Pelosi says she thinks as time goes by and it's time to authorize more money, more Republicans will join opposition to the war. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
The Senate is expected to approve the measure soon and send it on to the White House, where there was a presidential news conference today. CBS News correspondent Jim Axelrod has that.
President Bush warned of a violent summer.
It could be a very difficult August, and I fully understand.
72% of Americans now disapprove of the president's handling of Iraq, according to the latest CBS News New York Times poll. 72% also say the country's on the wrong track, the highest number ever since the poll started asking that question in 1983.
General David Petraeus, the U.S. commander in Iraq, will report in September on how things are going. Defense Secretary Gates expects Iraqi militants to pull out all the stops between now and then.
They are technologically sophisticated, and therefore they know what's going on in this country. And I think we should be prepared for them to make a very strong effort to increase the level of violence in July and August.
Electronics retailer Best Buy is being sued by the Connecticut Attorney General, who says the chain has attractive low prices on its website, but when customers come to buy, they're told they have to pay the higher price shown on the in-store kiosk. Company spokeswoman Kelly Grayler says they adamantly deny the allegations.
Unfortunately, for all the benefits that the kiosks provided to most of our customers, there was a small percentage who did not receive the best price when they should have. We are in the process of making changes to eliminate future confusion.
Attorney General Richard Blumenthal calls it bait and switch. Just in time for Memorial Day weekend travel, a new public service message urging us to buckle up.
I'm New Jersey Governor John Corzine, and I should be dead.
Corzine was nearly killed when his vehicle slammed into a highway barrier at 91 miles per hour. He suffered 15 broken bones and lost more than half his blood.
It took a remarkable team of doctors and a series of miracles to save my life when all I needed was a seatbelt.
Others in the vehicle had minor injuries. Today on Wall Street, some losses. The Dow Industrials down 84 points to 13,441. The NASDAQ down 39 to 2537. The price of oil fell nearly $1.50 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Memorial Day means summer, and your neighborhood Ace Hardware is here to help with the Memorial Weekend Sale. This weekend only, get an easy set pool for $39.99, cedar Adirondack chairs $29.99 each, and a stainless steel gas grill for $399.99, plus a $5 rebate on every gallon of Ace Royal paint, limit 10. Use your Ace Rewards card to earn double points at the Ace Memorial Weekend Sale this Friday through Monday. Ace, the helpful place.
Quantities limited. Details available at participating stores. All rebates by mail.
What are you really getting in most burger joints? Could be a bigger waistline and a lack of energy, too. So how about great flavor without the flab and fat? The new Subway Fresh Fit Meals fit into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle, with a choice of tasty subs with 6 grams of fat or less, better for you sides and a drink. The new Subway Fresh Fit Meals. Subway. Eat fresh.
Fat content refers to regular 6-inch sub and white or wheat bread without condiments that contain fat. See store for additional nutritional information, including sodium content. Subway is a registered trademark of Breakfast Associates, Inc.
A House panel heard warnings today about a mental health crisis among soldiers returning from Iraq with post-traumatic stress syndrome. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
Chairman Henry Waxman said the numbers are staggering.
Some Los Angeles area veterans service providers are reporting PTSD incidence rates that are as high as 80%.
Richard Kunz's son James grew troubled in Iraq.
No one counseled him.
No one sought to find out the underlying reason.
James later committed suicide. Thomas Smith avoided a redeployment.
Nobody wants anybody with a mental condition or a physical condition trying to fight the front lines with them.
But he said others with mental problems are being sent back. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
Snakes on a plane? Really? Customs officers at Cairo International Airport say they detained a man who was trying to smuggle 700 live snakes onto a flight bound for Saudi Arabia where he planned to sell them. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
In the Army, Jack Reacher handpicked an elite team of military cops to deal with trouble no one else could handle. A decade later, a coded message finds Reacher. His team of special investigators is turning up dead. Now Reacher will settle the score in Bad Luck and Trouble by New York Times bestselling author Lee Child. You do not mess with the special investigators, and you do not want to miss Bad Luck and Trouble by Lee Child, wherever books are sold from Delacorte.
The Michelin man has hit the road to test his tires. Today he's on Nevada's aptly named Loneliest Road. He'll go vast distances without anything in sight, including a gas pump. That's why he's chosen Michelin Hydro-Edge tires. As the longest-lasting, most fuel-efficient tires in their category, they're just right for lonely roads and high gas prices. To learn more about saving gas with Michelin Hydro-Edge tires, visit MichelinMan.com.
Michelin, a better way forward.
Category defined as premium-priced S&T passenger products.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. I'm grateful to my radio buddy and fellow progressive, Tony Truppiano, for sitting in. So give him a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Here he is, Tony Truppiano.
Thank you, Peter B. Tony Truppiano back with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. And we've got a great hour lined up for you. Peter just gave you the number. If you'd like to join us via email with your comments, feel free to do that. Tony@thetonyshow.com. A lot to get to in this hour, so I'm going to go right to it. As you know, in fact, during the break, Katrina had sent me the list of those who voted for and against the supplemental bill today, and I'm just kind of eyeing some of these Democrats. I haven't gone through the whole thing yet. Honestly. All right, we're going to get to all that and more. Hey, listen, if you went to the Huffington Post today, there was a great post there by Mike Lux. And Mike's joining us now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Mike is co-founder and CEO of Progressive Strategies. Again, you'll find them online at progressivestrategies.net. And, Mike, obviously, you've had a chance to kind of weigh what happened today. You made a great case for Democrats not to vote in favor of the supplemental. Let's start with the result, and then we're going to kind of go back and revisit some stuff here.
Yep. Well, you know, what is there to say? The Democratic leadership blew it. As I say in my post, I am an inside the Beltway guy. I'm a Democratic Party loyalist and consultant, and I sometimes get into trouble for that from my goddamn thing. Excuse my language. I don't know if I'm supposed to do that on the radio or not. We gave in on everything, and it's craziness. We didn't. There are all kinds of things that we could have done to push our point of view on this. We could have pushed much harder on making sure the troops were well-rested, well-trained, making sure that they had the proper supplies. We didn't do that. We could have given him a much shorter timeline on the money and said, okay, we'll give it to you for the next month or the next 6 weeks, but you're going to have to come back and make your case again. There are so many different things that we could have done to push our case and to change the outcome here, and we didn't do any of them, and there's just no excuse for it. It's just all around makes no sense.
You know, Mike, I for a few days now I've been trying to concentrate my energy, as many of us have, getting people to call their congressman, congresswoman, talking to their friends and neighbors, doing the email list thing. Not that I felt any sense of optimism that it was going to do any good, and I think that's part of where my frustration is. And I have to tell you that this is a complete failure, if not hypocrisy, towards the very people that voted Democrats into office in the midterms, with the clear mandate of the voters that the Iraq war needs to end, that we are charging you with that responsibility. They have failed us, Mike.
Well, you and I are in the same place. They have just blown it. There really isn't any excuse for it. Like I say, I'm sympathetic to how hard the job is trying to corral, you know, all these different senators from, you know, all different perspectives and parts of the country. But they just blew it. They gave up everything. The only thing I can say is that there's going to be other chances to vote on this war, and they better damn well do the right thing the next time. I just think what they've done is horrifying.
Well, and taking a look at what they've done, and, you know, let me just give the audience, Mike Luxa, some totals. Those voting in favor of the supplemental were 280. Those voting no were 142. And, you know, sadly, as we take a look at what's happened, and I want to go to the president's press conference earlier today, where he guaranteed something, Mike, that should outrage the hell out of each and every one of us. He guaranteed us that this August, coming up, this August, will be the bloodiest month in Iraq. And he gets away with it.
Yep. Well, you know, I don't know if you saw that there was an article in the paper today about how the body count in the morgues, all of the sort of individual, factional killings, those killings are going up dramatically. The soldiers, our soldiers, are dying dramatically. There's no cease to the civil war. It's all getting worse. And we have more and more soldiers pouring into this country in harm's way, and it's all getting worse. It's craziness.
You know, Mike Lux, I don't know. You've never talked to you before. I've never met you before. But I have to tell you, as one human being to another, you sound, well, frankly, you sound defeated today. And I don't mean that in a negative way.
Well, I am defeated today. Good people and good policy lost today. And it's very discouraging to me because I'm a person, I've been a Democrat my whole life. And I worked my heart and soul out every single election for these folks, and I am a pragmatist. I'm probably not as radical as a lot of your listeners. I'm a person who believes that in politics you have to take the best thing you can get. You have to work within the system to make the most progress you can. I've always believed that. But what we did here was we didn't do any of that. We didn't force a compromise. We didn't force the president to the table. The president just kept saying no, 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 and Democrats were like, "Oh, okay, I guess we have to give up." And we didn't force a single bit of accountability in this bill. So yeah, today I am defeated, but I'm pissed off about it, and I think now we have to all go back to the trenches and fight again because. I guarantee you, this battle is not over, and as long as our troops are in harm's way, what's going on is going on, we have to keep fighting, and there'll be other opportunities. I do believe that.
I don't disagree with that. And I, you know, Mike, at some level, I do my own show earlier in the day, and you know, one of the discussions that we got on today was what this does to different generations of Americans. I'm blessed to have family members that are well into their 80s, and I have young children. And I'm one of those people that becomes quite contemplative. I get very passionate about these issues, and I probably spend way too much worry time. But at the same time, with all that being said, I think about the economic, the social, the foreign policy ramifications. I look at my neighbors and my friends, and I see that they've been discriminated against because of what Osama bin Laden did. And then I become very mindful, Mike, of the idea of what America is supposed to be. I don't recognize this broad right now. I just don't recognize this beautiful woman we call America right now. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Well, I agree. I grew up in a very conservative part of the country. I grew up in Nebraska. You can't get too much more conservative than Nebraska. But these are not the values that I was taught when I was a kid going to the Methodist church. My parents, have very conservative lifestyle in many ways, but they weren't for torturing people. They weren't for, sending our troops to fight in somebody else's civil war. This is not the same country we grew up in, and we have to keep fighting to change it. I mean, that's the thing that I believe is we can't give up. We can't let, how bad it is today make us give up, because that's what these bastards want, and we just can't do that.
I would agree with that. Mike, we're going to take a very quick break here. My guest again is Mike Lux. It's 17 minutes after the hour. If you would like to join us, the toll-free number once again, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. I've got a couple email that I want to share on the other side as well. Tony Trupiano in for Peter B. Collins. We're going to take a very quick break here. Much more to get to on the other side. Please stay with us.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Oceans 18, finally a real 18-hole miniature golf course in town. Open every day from noon till 10, 11 on the weekends. Whether you're 6 or 96, this blacklight golf course is fun for the whole family. Just a few steps from the Monterey Aquarium and the American Tin Cannery. Oceans 18 is perfect for private parties. Mention you heard this on Sheila's show and get a free glow stick. Oceans 18 opens at 12, stays open late every day. Oceans 18 Miniature Golf.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Tomorrow Matters, hosted by me, Deborah Lindsay, will be moving from Sundays to a daily spot Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. I'll still be bringing in the guests, and you'll still be calling in with your questions and ideas, and we'll still be working collectively to set the standards for a more sustainable future. But we'll be doing it 5 times a week. Starting May 14th, join me, Deborah Lindsay, right here on KRXA 540 a.m. for Tomorrow Matters, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., because for all of us, tomorrow really matters.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at traffic and talk about what's happening in Salinas on Old Stage Road at Old Nativity Road. Yeah, a pickup truck hit a tree there. Minor injuries reported, so Salinas Fire Department on scene. CHP is also there as well. And Natividad, that is. Santa Cruz, Vine Hill Road at Jupiter Terrace. A big rig apparently is stalled out there, and it is blocking the roadway. Also a problem in Pajaro on Highway 1 at Salinas. It is a crash on the right shoulder. 4 vehicles all off to the right-hand shoulder. CHP present. And looking at Highway 17, no major stalls or accidents to report there. A support brought to you by your Nissan dealer. To help protect the value of your Nissan, trust the people who know your Nissan best. Factory-trained technicians using advanced diagnostic equipment and genuine Nissan parts. That's traffic on KRXA.
It's 22 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show. I am Tony Truppiano. My guest again, Mike Lux. Mike is with Progressive Strategies. Again, you'll find them online at progressivestrategies.net. Again, the number, the toll-free number, 888-573-8372. And I do want to go to the phones, and I want to welcome Dave in Eureka, California. Dave, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Tony, it's only logical the two best radio talk show hosts in the country should cover for each other.
Thank you so much. Dave, you have a comment or question for my guest?
Yes, I do. Is this a big corporate special interest money that's profiting like crazy from these wars? And these same corporations dump money onto any of our elected Congress members that are willing to accept it. And they find themselves with a divided mind. Do I go the way Lockheed Martin wants me to go, or do I go the way the people want me to go? Many of them choose to go with the money. In so doing, they're saying, I am going to vote to kill and wound a lot of innocent people. I'm going to vote to bankrupt the country, and I'm going to do that for the $10,000 or $20,000 that's going to be put in my pocket. That's people we don't need in office any longer than they absolutely have to be. Total hypocrites. That's a more comment than a thought, but I'd like your thinking on it, Mike.
All right. Mike, do you have any thoughts on what Dave had to say?
Well, I agree with you to a great extent, Dave. Politicians are always hunting for money for their campaigns, and they tend to, even if they aren't, you know, directly corrupt, even if they aren't pocketing it the way Duke Cunningham did or you know, some of these guys, it still influences them. And these contractors have made a boatload on this war, and that's one of the most outrageous things about this war, is we've got young men and women dying in Iraq, and these guys are making literally billions of dollars on insider deals, no bid contracts that are, you know, have been, every time they do an accounting of them, they find them to be completely corrupt. And those are the people funding a lot of these campaigns. You're absolutely right, and I think voters really should take a look at who is giving money to the politicians that are running, and if they have too many checks from Halliburton or Lockheed Martin, then that should be something that they think about.
Absolutely. We're going to go back to the phones again, 888-573-8372. Mike Lux, my guest. I'm Tony Truppiano. I want to welcome Steve in Watsonville. Steve, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Your question for the guest, please.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I just watching the news here and reflecting on if Bush had his emergency where he got to replace Congress and the Supreme Court, he wouldn't be able to replace the stock market and the NFL and the rest of the systems that operate in this country worldwide. So it'd end up being a joke. But I'm just thinking, wouldn't it be neat if Congress now, since he's, you know, like cutting him short on the Iraq thing and the immigration thing, Congress could pass a bill designating an alternative government in the event of a national emergency to supersede Presidential Directive 51. Isn't that within their power?
Mike?
That you can't pass a bill without a presidential signature and have it become law.
If Bush scared Pelosi and Reid with his Presidential Directive 51 into caving on the Iraq bill, I think Pelosi and Reid could rally some Republican support for something like that to say, hey, let's get back to democracy here, guys.
Yeah, I don't think that was what was going on in this case. I don't think that they were worried about that that directive. I think that they got scared that that Bush would say they weren't supporting the troops. And I think what they've forgotten is that Bush has lost all credibility.
Democrats wouldn't have won the Congress in last year. If that support the troops saber rattling was really like effective,
I completely agree with you, and I think this was a failure of nerve. I think that they just made a bad political judgment, and it was a pure and simple failure of nerve.
A failure of courage.
They didn't hang tough.
And Steve, I want to thank you for the call. We've only got about a minute before we've got to get out for the bottom of the hour. I want to get another call, and let's go. Right away to Anthony in Eureka. Anthony, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. Very quickly, your question for my guest.
Well, I don't know how quick this can be. I want to commiserate with you and Mike and your guests and callers about the Democratic cave-in. And I want to say a different attack, and that is to look at this man as Hitler, a psychiatric problem, a sociopath, a psychopath. And therefore, we should bark at him every day, every hour of every day, in plain words, that he's a serial killer, a serial murderer. What do you think about that tactic, Mike?
I don't think it would work politically. It might work to I don't think Bush is rattled by much of anything. I think he just kind of goes his own way and doesn't really give a damn what anybody else thinks. I think what works politically is to stand up to him.
Mike, I want to thank you. We've got to get to the break.
ProgressiveStrategies.net.
I'm Tony Trupiato in for Peter B. More on the other side.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking good, California, is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
People are talking about the show on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are, in many ways, so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, be the path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
President Bush says he listens to his military commanders. Well, Mr. President, I was one of those commanders, and you weren't listening when we warned you of the dangers we'd face invading Iraq. Now our military is overcommitted, and America is less secure. Mr. President, you're being told we need serious diplomacy, not escalation, and you're still not listening. If the President won't listen, Congress must.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a bottle of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and your humble host is off today. Please give a warm left coast welcome to a great progressive voice from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan. Here's Tony Truppiano.
Welcome back. Tony Truppiano with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. Again, if you want to join us, feel free to do that. 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And I got to tell you, I feel very bad for Mike Lux. We were talking to him in the last segment. And we'll have a little time for open lines towards the end of the hour, and we'll talk a little bit further about this. I want to turn my attention now to a couple headlines that crossed our way today and talk a little bit about this. First headline was a setback for warheads policy. House panel says it won't fund new nuclear weapons. And then an AP headline, House panel nixes plans for new warhead. Now, let me just give you some quick background here. The House Appropriations Subcommittee today refused to fund a new warhead project. Now, the administration had argued that the current weapon stockpile developed during the Cold War is aging and should be replaced over time. Opponents of the program have argued that the current weapons will last for decades. Well, it's a debate, and we'll just find out here in a minute how legitimate one side or the other is. Joining us now is Dr. Lisbeth Granlund. Dr. Granlund is a senior scientist and co-director of the Global Security Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And I want to welcome you today to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you so much.
The Appropriations Committee made a ruling today. Those that are in favor of this say our nuclear warheads are aging. We need to replace them. Opponents say they'll last for decades. Where stand you?
Well, you know what? That's actually not the debate anymore. Even the proponents of this program concede that the aging, if it's happening, it's happening very slowly. And so that was the initial rationale that, it's a very compelling rationale. Everybody experiences it themselves. As you get older, things don't work quite the way they used to. But it sort of fell apart, this argument, last fall when using the data from the weapons labs themselves. There was an independent assessment that looked at whether, in fact, the core of a warhead, the plutonium pit, so-called, was aging the way people were concerned about, and they found no. In fact, it will last for at least 100 years, and they need to keep doing the experiments to see how much longer it will last. Could be many hundreds of years. So that argument has been basically discarded in favor of new arguments, that the U.S. needs to be able to design and produce new warheads to train the new designers, that if we design a series of warheads and produce them in an ongoing basis over the next few decades, then we will have a infrastructure that could, if we need to, build a lot more. So those are really the new rationales that are offered.
All right, now, in what that said, Dr. Grundland, you know, we're talking about massive amounts of dollars, although when you look at $89 million for a program in the context of federal government, I guess it's not a lot of money. To a guy like me, that's a ton of cash.
Well, it would be, that is a down payment, a very small down payment. This is basically, they're paying people to develop the design. And when they start to build and produce, that's when it becomes more expensive. So this is not, by any means, one year of funding for the very early stage of the program. It would be billions of dollars. So that is, it sounds a lot to you, but it's actually not nearly as much as it would ultimately cost.
And I do respect that. You know, the obvious question here is, do we need to do something? Is there a compromise in here? You know, one of your areas of expertise is U.S. nuclear weapons policy. So what should, are we not where we need to be? Are you concerned that we're now behind the curve?
Absolutely not. In fact, what was really interesting about the decision of this committee to cut out all the funding is they said, you know, the U.S. does not have a clear plan for the future of the U.S. arsenal, and it is silly to be spending money on any program before there is such a plan. In fact, I think the chairman's statement is, I don't think it is asking too much for a comprehensive nuclear strategy before we build a new nuclear weapon. And actually, we don't need new nuclear weapons. We desperately need a new strategy. Our policy is very similar to what it was during the Cold War. And the U.S. has 10,000 nuclear weapons still. Many thousand are on high alert, ready to be launched within a few minutes. And this is because the U.S. still has a so-called nuclear war fighting policy with respect to Russia. And it's a very dangerous, risky policy that is totally unjustified 15 years after the end of the Cold War, if it was even justified then.
If you were advising Congress, what direction do we need to move? You've made a compelling case that we do need to change, but it's on the policy side.
It's on the policy side, and ultimately it would, of course, affect our targeting policy and then the numbers and types of weapons. And there was a very interesting opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal in January with a group of rather prominent individuals saying that on security grounds, the U.S. needed to take an entirely new approach and to move towards zero. And the people who made the suggestion were former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger and George Shultz, cold warriors, the two of them, as well as former Secretary of Defense Bill Perry and Senator Sam Nunn. And these are not, pie-in-the-sky disarmament dreamers. These are hard-headed people who said, the world is going to have more nuclear weapon states and nuclear terrorism if we don't get off the path we're on. And I think that it is time for Congress to really take a hard look at how do we start down that path. And the first step is, in fact, to have a discussion about what the purpose of U.S. nuclear weapons are, what the role should be, what we want the world to look like in the future with respect to nuclear weapons, and how do we get there. And so I think Viv Kloss, the chair of this subcommittee, was absolutely right. We need a strategy, and it needs to be different than the one we have now.
Well, and I also have to ask the question, Dr. Elizabeth Grönlund, if we're in an era where we're trying to reduce the number of nuclear weapons around the country, we're trying to talk that talk that we need less, not more. Doesn't this send a very different message? Don't do as I do as I say?
Well, if we're saying that we need to build new warheads, I think that further legitimizes the idea that nations should have these weapons for use. And that's the problem, in fact, that going forward with this program would have an implication on the behavior of other states. It makes it much harder, as you said, don't do what I do what I say. That's not a very compelling argument to children or other nations. And other nations will do what they want, and especially if it's justified by what the United States is doing.
I chuckled just a little bit. Not that there's anything funny about this issue, but the White House has labeled this the Reliable Replacement Warhead Program.
Yes,
what I just heard you saying, unless
marketing
I didn't.
Strategy.
Well, what I heard you saying, and what I don't hear in that label, you said the nuclear weapons we have are quite reliable.
Yes.
So we don't need to replace them.
There was a period of time when the argument made by the labs, I think, was quite effective, that, we're not sure they are reliable right now, and we're just not sure how reliable they're going to be in the future. And their concern was linked to how plutonium would behave as it aged. It turns out plutonium... there is no plutonium in the world that's older than about 50 years because it was first produced by humans during the Manhattan Project. And so nobody really knows what does plutonium do when it's 100 years old. Is it going to behave differently? And that is what these experiments addressed. So there was a lot of kind of fear-mongering, if you will. Everybody wants, so whether you want 10,000 warheads as we now have or whether you want 100, you want them to be reliable. So this was a very compelling argument that the labs made, and a lot of people on the Hill bought into it. And then the study came out that showed, the data shows there is just no problem. And it basically, they were left kind of holding an empty bag. So I think, in fact, that is part of the reason that this committee cut the funding. It's not just that we don't have a strategy and a policy looking towards the future, is that this is totally unnecessary. The warheads that are currently in the arsenal are very reliable, far more reliable than anything you own, let me assure you.
I'm going to just take your word on that. It's kind of, as we we don't talk much about nuclear weapons in this country much anymore, and there's a profoundly good reason for that. But we would, I would suggest that at the same time, if we're going to put money into a nuclear program, I would think that that money should be going into, as you said, planning. Certainly R&D is, I wouldn't think, would be much of an issue. But to you know, Harry Carey go out starting to design new nuclear weapons without having even a purpose for it seems to me to be beyond reckless.
Yes. Well, the purpose is actually to get the labs back in the business of doing something they find interesting. Because the purpose of the labs for the last, since the nuclear moratorium on testing since 92 has been to maintain the current arsenal. It's kind of boring, apparently. And they are eager to get back in the business of designing new warheads and having them produced. And this is really this warhead program is the means to an end. And the end is this revitalized nuclear weapons complex where there would be design and then there would be production of new warheads and then they would replace ones that were currently in the arsenal. And it would go on really indefinitely. That would be the plan. So, it's maybe it satisfies the needs of some people at the labs, but it's certainly not based on what the needs of this country are. And, it's an understandable, self-interested kind of position, but clearly that's not what we should be basing U.S. nuclear power.
And so, obviously, you're applauding what the House Appropriations Subcommittee did today.
Very much, very much.
Very good. Well, Dr. Lisbeth Grondland, I appreciate your time so very much. Again, she is a senior scientist and co-director of the Global Security Program at the Union of Concerned Scientists in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
My pleasure. I am Tony Trupiano in for Peter B. Collins. It's 47 minutes after the hour. We're going to go open lines for the balance of the show, so let me give that number out. And you folks hop online during the break, and we'll take care of some callers to rock our way out of here on this Thursday. 888-5-PETER-B, that's toll-free, 888-573-8372. And I've got some email I'll get to on the other side as well. Give us a call now. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the quick break here. We'll be right back.
Nine a.m. to noon. Thanks for joining us. The Ed Schultz Show, where America comes to talk.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Our founding fathers warned us. What we have weathered is nothing to compare with what is here now. This Saturday and Sunday, May 26th and May 27th, come to Conspiracy Con at the San Jose DoubleTree Inn. Speakers talking about 9/11, Iraq, depleted uranium, past and present conspiracies. Call 209-832-0999 or www.conspiracycon.com. Share your views and learn more. ConspiracyCon.com.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at the latest. Starting off with a problem working in Pajaro, Highway 1 at Salinas Road. It's an accident, four vehicles, everything off to the shoulder, and CHP is actually there. Salinas, we have a problem, Old Stage Road at Natividad. It is a pickup truck into a tree, minor injuries there, so fire department is there along with CHP. Looks like that crash pretty much wrapped up. Also want to take a look at Graham Hill Road at Sims Road. That's in Santa Cruz. Heavy smoke visible apparently in the area. The fire department is on scene. Looks like a grass fire being reported there. And a look at, and just a quick reminder that folks, you need to buckle up or it's you'll get a, of course, the CHP has their big campaign, Click It or Ticket, through so that's still ongoing. And the support brought to you by Radio Shack through June 3rd. Go to Radio Shack.
Tony Truppiano back with you on the Peter B. Collins Show. And we'll be open lines till the top. Feel free to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Again, if you'd like to send an email, and thank you, Susan, for your email, tony@thetonyshow.com. We are going to go to the phones. I want to welcome Walt in Crescent City. Walt, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're on the air with Tony Truppiano.
Thank you, Peter and Tony. I'm so upset with Nancy Pelosi on this last cave-in. And, you know, first thing she did is had a big party sponsored by contributions from corporations. Then she wanted to have her own 747 to fly around the country in. And I'm sick of the woman. I think she's a limousine liberal, and I don't think she's going to do anything if it risks anything, particularly risk her career. So I think we ought to have a vote of confidence in Nancy Pelosi.
Well, you know, and I've got to tell you, I have spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks very angry with Speaker Pelosi, very angry with Steny Hoyer. I'm pissed off as all get out at Rahm Emanuel, who is the chairman of the Democratic Caucus. Our leadership, our Democratic leadership, is failing us in profound ways. And you know, you get to a certain point where you begin to wonder where the disconnect is. We sent a message. They need to be doing the work of the people. And I know you agree with that. This is
absolutely
frustrating.
Yeah. And I think a vote of confidence to shake her up and get her moving. That's a vote of no confidence, really.
Yeah, well, again, I don't, politically, I don't see that happening. I will tell you this. We need to inundate her office and every Democratic leader's office and demand an explanation for this vote, for this supposed compromise. And, Walt, I'll say this. You know, I looked at the vote totals, and I know that, by the way, the Senate did pass the Iraq supplemental bill. So that did pass the Senate this evening. Pelosi did not vote for it. But what's odd, and I still don't get this one, John Murtha did.
Huh.
I can't for the life of me fathom how that happens.
Yeah. No, I don't know who the leadership is, but the leadership is absolutely gutless.
Well, at this point, I'd have to agree with you. I am absolutely, profoundly disappointed. Were you listening earlier when I had Mike Lux on from Progressive Strategies?
Right. Yeah.
Did you hear his voice?
Yeah, well, that's what made me mad too. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to push this vote of confidence thing. It probably won't go anywhere, but the only way to deal with frustration is to act out. I'm going to act out.
Well, I think it's incumbent upon all of us at some level to act out.
Yeah. Well, good. Good. Let's go after him.
Absolutely. Walt, thank you so much. I appreciate you taking the time to call today.
One more thing on that.
Sure, go ahead.
Never mind. Okay.
No, go on. What were you going to say?
Oh, one thing. A man wrote to Nancy Pelosi and asked, said that he disagreed with something and she had done. And she said, told him, she said in writing, "I'm not here to serve you. I'm here to serve my constituents in San Francisco." Now, if she is in the position she's in there to serve Democrats.
All people.
Yeah.
Members of Congress serve the country.
I think that's the most arrogant statement I've ever heard.
Well, they represent their district, but they serve a country.
Yeah, well, they aren't. Okay, well, thanks very much.
I appreciate it. Thank you for your passion. Absolutely. Thank you for your passion.
Okay, bye-bye.
888-573-8372 if you want to join us. And a lot of angry people today. You know, go to the liberal blogs, and you'll see it everywhere, and for profoundly good reasons. You know, I had said a little earlier in the show today that, you know, part of the dialogue has to be about what happens generationally. another $120 billion going to Iraq. Where's that put the total? Close to $1 trillion. There are some generals that suggest we won't be out of Iraq for decades. And we don't have, and Democrats don't have the stones to pick up the mantle and say, it's time. This is enough. John Edwards is doing it. Mike Gravel, who the Democrats make fun of, and they shouldn't because he's a pretty stand-up guy, he's doing it. Dennis Kucinich is doing it. But they're seeing, with the exception of Edwards, and I guess maybe I should check online before I even say this, but they're considered pariahs, eccentrics. They don't know what they're talking about. It's not doable. They can't win. Don't listen to them. And then there's this idea that we get people that run for office. On the Republican side, it would be Ron Paul. That we get people that run for the presidency that can't win because they're trying to drive home a message. Has it occurred to any of you that what they're really trying to do is change the world? Because that's what it looks like to me. It takes real courage to be authentic in the political arena. And I personally become offended when we make fun, when we poke fun at people that have given decades of their life to public service. And just because they have the audacity to speak the truth. Well, it's just wrong. Quick call before we get out of here. I want to go to my pal Susan in Santa Cruz. And Susan, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for the email, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, thanks for the thanks. I just want to say to the fellow who just said he wants to act out doesn't get you anywhere. You got to act now. Be proactive. Call all these folks up. Get on your phone. Do whatever you can. Send as many emails like the one I sent you to your friends. I'm really starting up again, getting very proactive again. So get whatever machine of yourself you can go, you know, get going energetically out there.
Well, you know, Susan, and you and I have had this conversation many times.
Right.
If people would just take 10% of what you do, we would change the world overnight.
Well, I don't do very much. I do a lot more work on the inner than I do on the outer, but I do what I can. And I want to do more.
Oh, and you do more. Thank you so much, Susan. We're out of time for today. I will be back tomorrow. Peter, again, is out of town for a few days, and he was gracious enough to invite me to sit in, and I'll be here tomorrow and again next Tuesday, and a pleasure to do it. I want to thank Brian and Katrina for all their hard work behind the scenes, and they're both a gift to work with. I've enjoyed meeting both of them. It's been a pleasure. So we will get out of here in this hour. You know, let's pray for our country. There is reason to be hopeful. And it's because of you, not because of those inside the Beltway, that I stay optimistic. And toward that end, I'm committed to.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com. Stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
The ayes are 80,
The nays are 14, and the motion to concur is agreed to.
The Senate, following the House, just approved nearly $100 billion in new war funding without any mention of a timetable for withdrawal. Majority Leader Harry Reid says they're not giving up.
Senate Democrats will not stop our efforts to change the course of this war until either enough Republicans join us to reject President Bush's failed policy or we get a new president.
CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports the House vote a few hours ago was pretty close.
Fewer than half the House Democrats voted for the bill their leaders negotiated, Majority Leader Steny Hoyer saying they did what they had to do to fund the troops.
Fact is, this is simply the best bill we could put together and that would be signed.
The measure was supported by Republicans. Their leader, John Boehner, started crying during the debate.
If we don't do it now, and if we don't have the courage to defeat this enemy, we will long, long regret it.
The bill to fund the war also has good news for millions of restaurant workers and grocery clerks. It contains the first increase in the minimum wage in 10 years, a phased-in bump up to $7.25 an hour. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Mark Knoller at the White House, where President Bush says he knows Iraq has been a long and difficult experience for the American people. But he used his news conference to again warn of the consequences if the U.S. withdraws from Iraq and lets Al-Qaeda gain a safe haven.
And this concept about, well, maybe, you know, let us kind of just leave them alone and maybe they'll be all right, is naive.
But at the same time, Mr. Bush warned America to brace for a surge in casualties in Iraq this summer, saying the enemy wants to impact the progress report that General David Petraeus plans to give Congress in September.
The latest CBS News poll shows growing disenchantment with the war in Iraq.
3 in 4, 76% say that the war is going badly. That's the highest figure we've ever seen.
Director of Surveys Kathleen Fragovic says politicians urging withdrawal have a lot of public support.
Americans, by margins approaching 2-1, believe that the United States should, in fact, set a timetable for withdrawal from Iraq in 2008.
President Bush spoke favorably today about the Iraq Study Group's recommendation for a shift from combat to supporting Iraqi forces. And General Peter Pace, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, says the Pentagon is studying how soon that might be possible. It's all there in the fine print if you